Sports Day for Kia.
Introducing the all-new Kia Carnival. Australia's first GUV. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sports Day. This is Ben Hook. I am in the chair for David Wilde for the next couple of weeks. There is so much going on in sport at the moment. We are well into the day two of the Australian Open tennis. Of course, the 36ers are back in action tonight. They take on the Wildcats here in town. And, of course, the Adelaide Strikers are into the finals after a stunning performance last night. So there is so much to talk about, and I'm going to be doing that with one of the icons of South Australian sport, Ken KG Cunningham.
Hello,
KG,
Benny.
G'day.
Good, Benny. Very well. Thank you.
All well on this Tuesday afternoon?
Absolutely. Gee whiz, what a win last night by the Strikers. The test match is over. Fair dinkum. It's all been happening.
And great to see the Adelaide 36ers back in action. I think they've been off with COVID-related issues for a month.
Absolutely. That's going to have an effect on all competition right throughout the year.
So we'll obviously be talking about their performance tomorrow night, so there'll be plenty to talk about there as well. KG, the Weeks open line, 8223000, save $45,000 in your next home with Weeks Homes. Save a massive $45,000 on all next-gen homes. Visit weeks.com.au.
How good is that?
So, love to hear your calls. Feel free to ring in. We've got a caller already. Craig wants to talk about tennis and the South Australian Cricket Association. Craig, welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, boys. Great show. Look, I reckon Tennis Australia have tried to double bluff the community or the people by giving an exemption when they knew that it would be revoked. I reckon they sort of played an each way bet there, but that's the side. I want to talk about the SACCA with Ken. The SACCA, is that government funded or does it receive support from? I mean, the rebuild at Adelaide Oval is clearly funded, because all these recommendations that come through, all these suggestions about cutting the district crickets down, and we've been a bloody joke for 40 years. I mean. We have good players. Are they playing at the highest level? Are they playing at the best level for them? And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, the joke is that Mike Hussey was commissioned to do survey of district cricket in Adelaide. He made certain recommendations, and as far as I'm aware, Craig, unfortunately, those recommendations haven't come to fruition. It was to cut the district size from 13 to 10, make the competition more competitive. That hasn't happened. They tried with Adelaide and Southern Districts. That fell over. So as far as I'm concerned, it's on the back burner at the moment, which it shouldn't be.
Hey, why would cutting the teams from 13 to 12 to 10, why would that suddenly make South Australian cricket at the Redbacks any better?
Well, because, Benny, when I retired, I went and watched my son play.
Scott
play cricket. And the competition was not strong enough. The bowling was, there were very few fast bowlers in the various teams. And it made it too easy for young players to play A-grade cricket in Adelaide. And it didn't give them the right breeding or the right grounding to take the next step when they were playing off their knees, off their hip, go to state cricket, and suddenly they're playing off their throat. And it didn't give them the right grounding. And that's been the problem.
So in your opinion, what would be the ideal structure of Premier Cricket in South Australia?
10 sides.
10 teams.
So I've been saying it for yonks until I'm blue in the face. Mike Hussey was asked to do that review. He did it. And where's it sitting now?
Is it as simple as that, though, KG? Well, I'll put it to you like this. Is Tasmanian cricket going better than South Australian cricket?
I'm not worried about Tasmanian cricket. I'm concerned, and what I've seen in South Australian cricket, it's not good enough. It hasn't been for years. When we last won the Sheffield Shield, 95-96.
Correct.
And that should be our focus, the Sheffield Shield. And we aren't breeding enough players. We've recruited players again this year.
Yes.
And
some pretty good ones, to be fair.
No doubt.
Happy with Brendan Doggett. Happy with Henry Hunt.
I'm not saying
he was last year.
But what I'm saying is we're not breeding the young blokes through district cricket here in Adelaide.
Thomas Kelly looks very good.
Yeah,
Corey
does.
Kelly, his twin brother, looks very good.
For Sturt, yep.
You know, I've got to be honest with you. Yeah, okay, 13 teams. I don't think that's ideal.
No,
but
it's
I just make the point that Hobart, there's 400,000 people that live in Hobart. They have nine grade teams.
I don't give a stuff
on that basis.
Hobart.
We should have 27. I mean, and that that's just ridiculous, isn't it? So, yeah, I can understand. Maybe we'll talk later in the week because I reckon I've got a bit of a solution on the way they should get it to 10 teams. You don't need to merge clubs, but we'll talk about that some other time.
I
reckon that, yes, and we haven't had a great first half of the year, but I'm actually reasonably confident that we've got the basis of a decent team going forward. I think Weatherald at the top is okay. Henry Hunt's a reasonable player. If Head and Carey play some games, we're always going to be pretty strong. I like the bowling with Brendan Doggett. I think Nathan McAndrew has been a good pickup as well. And then I reckon Lloyd Pope, the longer he goes, the better he's going to get. I think we'll be okay, Jack KG. Well, and I don't think it'll matter whether we have 13, 10, 8, 5 or 25 grade teams.
Well, I do. I think the stronger the grade competition is, the grounding will be best for the players.
Craig, and I'm not sure if Craig's gone, Craig had another good point about Tennis Australia and the way that they kind of fudged the lines a bit with Novak Djokovic. I don't want to spend the whole night on Djokovic, but I'm going to ask you this, KG. You are the head of Tennis Australia.
Yep.
You have the opportunity for Novak Djokovic, the number one player in the world, to break the record for slams at your home event. You know full well that he's a bit of an anti-vaxxer. You know full well that the Australian government has changed the rules consistently with regard to vaccination status and how you can and can't get into your country. Yeah. Aren't you doing everything that you possibly can to get this guy turning up to play at your tournament?
Well, you should be, but they made the point from day one that only vaccinated players would be given permission to play in the Australian Open.
Unless you had a medical exemption.
Exactly. Now, that's where the confusion comes into it. What is a medical exemption? That's the issue. It'll come out. Craig Tilley's under an enormous amount of pressure. There's been faults on both sides. But Djokovic has played like a teddy bear. Prima donna.
That he has. Shop online and in store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge. Now you are cooking. Hey, I want to touch on the Ashes. We should be watching the Ashes right now. It should be going on in the background. And it finished 2 days ago, KG.
Joke.
I want to ask you this question.
Yep.
Is the Ashes the most important Australian sporting contest? It always used to be. It was the number one thing, the Ashes, Australia versus England in the cricket. I would argue it's not even in the top five anymore.
Well, the image has been damaged. There is no question about that, Ben. The image has been damaged by a lazy mob of England cricketers who capitulated yesterday, losing 10 wickets and didn't try. Playing for their country, playing as part of the Ashes, which was always the pinnacle in Test cricket, for those English players to perform the way they did, they ought to be honestly sacked.
Do you agree with me, therefore, on that basis, that this is no longer the most important Australian sporting contest?
It's been damaged by this series. It's been a non-event from day one. Absolutely. Selection, their performances with the bat, been pathetic.
I'll tell you what I reckon was an issue too this year.
What?
I think pitches were terrible. I think overall the five wickets, I give Adelaide a pass mark, a little bit slow, but I know that you've got some issues to deal with with a pink ball. But I thought the Gabba was way too far in favour of the bowlers, and it was only an outrageously good knock from Travis Head that made that wicket look okay, but that was definitely below par. The MCG is flat out a disgrace. I mean, that wicket, that we've had that flat, slow wicket for years and years at
now
the MCG. And I think this one's worse. I think the SCG was two heights, and we ended up seeing a guy like Johnny Bairstow, who batted his heart out for his country, couldn't play the next test because he got a broken thumb from a ball that reared off a length.
Yep.
And that happened routinely on that wicket. And then the Hobart pitch. I mean, that was just unfair. It was unreasonable. I haven't seen, collectively, five worse pitches for an Ashes series than what we saw over the past 4 weeks.
Probably they've gone the other way too far, made it more friendly for the bowlers. But having said that, and like the batsmen have had it beautiful for all these years, wider bats, beautiful flat deck. So it had to go a bit the other way, Ben.
Andrew has called in from Craigmore, wants to talk about tennis. Andrew, welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, guys. I'm tired of talking about this, but let's be honest. This bloke, as Kenny said, prima donna, blowing kisses from behind the window to the camera people and everyone out there. I think the Australian government done the right thing. They threw their balls on the table because every other country was too scared to. Told him that this just ain't going to happen. And now he's had to go back. And guess what? Every other bloody country's now dropped their balls and saying, right, here we go. we're following suit.
Yep.
And this
yep.
is what has to be done. You can't have someone being strutting around like some sort of rooster who can do what he wants to do. And, you know, I'm going to take every chicken in the coop. But guess what? Finally, other countries have dropped their balls, grown some hair around them, and told them the same thing.
Yeah. Andrew, very good point. Well made. And I have to agree. I tell you what, Cage, I remember I was watching the tennis last year. Remember when they had that? It's basically a hit and giggle that they had for some of the biggest names at Memorial Drive last year.
Yep.
Novak Djokovic couldn't play because he had a blister on his hand. And then he saw the massive crowd turn up and thought, oh, actually, maybe my blister's not so bad after all. I want a bit of adoration from the crowd. That's the sort of
He's
standard of
person
donna. We've got from Novak. Plenty more calls to take. We do need to make a way to a break on the other side. Your calls and also Tuesday Tour or False, and we've got to talk about the tennis as well. Lumo SA, Aussie owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. Don't go away. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
You listen to Sports Day with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. We're going to talk about the Australian Open very shortly. But before we do that, John from Port Augusta has called in. He wants to talk about David Wildey's cricket career. John, that means this is going to be a very short conversation. G'day.
Hello, Ben Cage.
Hello,
no,
John.
They tell me Wildey's in Wildey's credit. I've met David Wildey. He's a couple of times. He's a nice bloke. And he must have been a good sport in his own right. To play league football in the 80s in SANFL,
yep.
District cricket, to make the state squad.
Yep.
To make, I know he won Prospects Best and Fairest a couple of times or something with a batting like Barry Richards, Garfield Sobers, didn't he, KG?
Yeah,
so
look, he was a very good...
He must have been a reasonable cricketer.
Yeah, he was. He was a very good batsman. He couldn't bowl to save his life, yep. But he was a very good batsman.
Right.
And I think he made some junior state sides as well, so... But he's a very good sport. He's a very good sport. But if you compare,
must
say, cricket and football, it was a better footballer than cricket.
Yeah.
You on his payroll there, John, needing to ring up to talk about that.
No. I met him a couple of times, had a beer with him. He's a nice fella, actually. He's a real good bloke. But, KG, how good a cricketer was Craig Bradley?
Oh, outstanding cricketer. Absolutely outstanding cricketer. Played state cricket. And had he concentrated on cricket, probably would have gone to test.
Played Australian under-19s as well. John, great call. Always good to talk about David Wildey's sporting career. Normally we do that when David Wildey's around because that's the way the topic of conversation usually goes. Good on you, John, from Port Augusta. Always great to hear from him. We need to talk about the Australian Open, Cage, and it's thanks to the super-fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. The great news, of course, Ash Barty last night, comfortable winner 6-love 6-1 off the court inside an hour. Very impressive. Disappointing for Jordan Thompson.
5 sets.
He went down in 5 sets to the American Steve Johnson. I was watching that all afternoon too. Steve Johnson moved like me around the court, and Jordan Thompson was 2 sets to 1 up.
What's that say?
And blew that. So that was a little bit disappointing. Couple of losers in the women as well. Priscilla Hahn went down. She looked quite impressive here at the Adelaide International, but she went down to Vondrousova in a couple of sets. And Daria Saville, of course, married to our own Luke Saville, for the boy from up there in the Riverland. She went down as well to Sweden's Rebecca Peterson.
Sam Stosur.
The great news, yes, the wildcard Chris O'Connell got up in 4 sets against Frenchman Hugo Gaston, and Sam Stosur won in 3 sets against American Robin Anderson. What a great result that is for her, Cage.
Well, this is her last Australian Open, so I wonder how far she can go. Betty, it would be nice to see her go out in a high, but her form in recent times hasn't been all that flash.
I watched her play that match. She was just so delighted to win. It was wonderful. Exactly. The super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Well, I tell you what, we're off to a break. On the other side, we're going to be catching up with the coach of the Adelaide Crows AFLW team, Doc Clark.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. You're with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. Play Keno from only $1 a game with a draw every few minutes. There's always a time for a spot of Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. Well, I tell you what, KG, the Adelaide Crows and the AFLW flying along very nicely at the moment. Round one, good win over Brisbane, 30 points. And then, of course, on the weekend at Norwood Oval, very, very strong performance against North Melbourne to get over the line
My
by
word.
13 points. Their coach is Matthew Doc Clark. He's been good enough to join us. Matt, welcome back to Sports Day SA.
Hey, how you going, guys? Good to be on.
Great to have you. I tell you what, mate, all according to plan, the coach pretty relaxed about things at the moment?
Yeah, well, I certainly would have taken two and zip at this stage of the season. So, no, we're very, very happy. Obviously, it's a couple of pretty tough opponents up in the first two matches. So to get away with the wins, absolutely the way we wanted to start.
North Melbourne certainly challenged you late. You're proud of the way the players handled the pressure that you were put under, certainly from late in the third term right through the last quarter?
Yeah, I actually thought we played a really good third quarter, but just didn't put any scoreboard impact. And then we got a little bit sloppy at the end of the third and gave up a goal, which turned the last quarter into a bit of an arm wrestle. So to come out of that, and yeah, so North Melbourne, you know, quality side, really skillful side. So to come away with the win after a little bit of a scare was really pleasing.
Gee, Matt, what about the intensity of the game? It appears as though it's gone up a notch. I watched that game at the weekend, and the last quarter was super tough. Is that an accurate assessment? It has gone up a notch?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, they obviously this is the sixth season, and so a lot of the players now have had five or six pre-seasons into them, and they're physically just more capable. And the game is pretty short. Like, in comparison to an AFL game, quarters are only going, you know, 17 to 19 minutes. So they're able to maintain that intensity, and we do have unlimited rotations as well. So the intensity of the game is really, really high, and therefore the pressure is really, really high. So both the games we've played thus far have been intense, and we've now got a six-day break. So, we just need to be mindful of how we manage the group. But, yeah, if you're watching on the telly, then, you know, no doubt you'll be seeing lots of bodies arriving because, as I say, short quarters and fitter athletes mean that they can just sustain that energy and intensity.
Doc, I was talking to KG before we came on air, and as we know, KG's got a legendary history in football. I'm no spring chicken either. But we were just talking about the fact that there is a number 24 running around on suburban grounds using wonderful body positioning and finding a way to kick goal after goal after goal. That was Rick Davies in the 70s. It's now Ash Woodland in the 2020. She is something else. She's really impressive. Just that real knack of finding the goals.
Yeah, it's amazing for us to think that she was drafted over to Melbourne, had a year there, and it wasn't an enjoyable experience. She came back, she played SNFL footy, she started to get herself really fit. We picked her up probably with our last selection, to be honest. Going into our last season, she played every game. She became a really solid contributor, and then another pre-season and another, you know, lift in fitness. And she's just getting the reward for all that effort. So it's really, really pleasing. She'll have days where she's not the one to kick the four. But what she's done is, you know, she's established herself at the level, and she's really comfortable and confident. And, you know, she's obviously played two outstanding games, and we're very fortunate to have her on our list.
Gee, Matty, Chelsea Randall got a bit of a scare. What's the outcome there? Is it a hamstring?
Yeah, so it's very minor, low grade. You know, we're pretty unlikely to take a risk with her this week.
Yep.
But we'll give her the rest of the week to see how she recovers and make a call on Friday. But probability is that she'll miss. Very low grade hammy, and yeah, with obviously the quality of a player that she is,
correct,
we're probably going to be reticent to take a risk on that front.
Doc, there was a couple of moments in the last quarter that I just want to highlight with you. The first one, I think it would have been right in front of you on the members or the Western Wing at Norwood Oval, if you like. Anne Hatchard and Eloise Jones, both running in separate directions, collided I think it was Hatchard who took the mark. Now, is that the sort of thing that you love to see because you've got two girls who are just absolutely dedicated to the footy? Or is that something where you need to just instruct and I guess they've got to learn a bit of situational awareness, some voice from a third party of whose footy it is?
Yeah, well, Eloise Jones took the catch, so I better give her the credit.
Fair enough.
But to be honest, that one in particular was absolutely one of those line ball ones, and they were both coming from significantly different directions where I don't think that situational awareness was really coming into play. We had probably four or five other occasions across the day where we had two of our players flying hard at the ball and actually spoiling each other. At this point in the season, and particularly with a couple of the younger players, I'm actually okay with it. I'd much rather us have that great intent and be launching it at the ball rather than have someone second-guessing. So, you know, with time, I agree. A perfect scenario is one of the players realises and just gives that moment of protection. But for where we're at, I think, you know, we'll take the fact that their endeavour and the intensity is at such a level that we've got two people, you know, desperate to get to the ball.
The other moment relates to how the coach deals with a little bit of adversity. The ball came deep into defence. I thought Nadj Allen took a clean mark. Wasn't paid. Ball hit the ground. I can't think of the North Melbourne player who kicked the goal, but the goal gets kicked. Yeah. The margin is cut to 7 points. How do you as a coach deal with the emotion of that situation? It's obviously out of your control, but you know that that's a fairly significant umpiring blunder that may cost you the game.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it was a blue, but we made a few along the way as well, so the umpies are allowed to have one or two.
Mm.
So I guess the positive out of that situation, and you never want it to go down to the wire, but that's created that scenario, and so I guess having now come through that, we get the opportunity to look at that, to review it, and from a coaching perspective, you very much, it's like anything, you know, an injury or anything like that, you've just got to move on to the next moment in the game, which becomes that next centre bounce, and we didn't execute that perfectly, so there's a little learning there. But what happened off that, lost the centre bounce, created the turnover at halfback, and then really cleanly transitioned it to the other end and scored to secure the win. So, yeah, a great learning moment for our group, and thankfully a learning moment where we didn't give up 4 points. So, you like those ones.
Exactly. Matty, Erin Phillips, back to something like her best at the game against North Melbourne. How's her body?
Yeah, it's covering the ground really well, and obviously we manage her really carefully because she's only got it's probably only a certain number of Ks that she's got left in the knees. But at this point in time, she's actually in really good shape. And as I said, we manage her pre-season really well. So in a perfect world, you know, the back end of her season will be when she's at her fittest and moving most freely, as opposed to last year where she came out of the blocks absolutely flying and then obviously had a setback. So, no, really comfortable with where she's at. I thought she played a really significant role for us on the weekend. And you know, clearly, you know, quality, uses the ball beautifully and just adds that touch of class to our group.
Doc, I just want to touch on one of probably a lesser light of your team, Montana McKinnon, who spends a bit of time in the ruck, but she seems awfully versatile. She takes marks in defence. She was laying tackles. Just tell us a little bit about her development and where you think she can take her game to.
Yeah, I was really pleased for Mon on the weekend. So she's had a really tough 18 months. She was actually the only player on the list last year not to get a crack at it. And she was playing really, really well at SNFL level. But the rucks that had sort of established themselves in the team were getting it done week on week. So, you know, it's hard to tip someone out when they're playing well. But her development probably as an under 18, you know, she was a dominant player. She captained the state. She's played really, really well at SNFL level. But has up until now, that was her fourth game. She played two games in the first season where she came in, but, you know, was really finding her feet. And then last year, on the back of really good form, just couldn't get in. So I'm a bit familiar with that scenario with, you know, managing the rucks at AFL level, whereby you can have a player who's ready to go, but the opportunity just doesn't present. So thankfully for her, that opportunity has presented. And, yeah, the weekend was probably the first moment where she sort of took it on, and you could see that all that talent start to come to the fore. So, you know, it won't be linear, but it's exciting for her as a young ruck to have that day and to know that she can play at the level.
Yeah, so for someone who's just been watching bits and pieces of this competition, she really, someone who stood out to me that I hadn't really noticed over previous seasons. So great to see. Next week, you've got the West Coast Eagles, of course. No one can get into Perth at the moment, so that game's going to be at Punt Road Oval. I guess a really good opportunity for you to get yourself out to 3 and zip, but at the same time, every game's a danger game.
Yeah, that's it. And it'll be a really good challenge. So we'll fly in and out on the day, and it's quite an early game, so it's 12:40. So for our group, that's another challenge. And obviously, if Chelsea misses, which, you know, is a probability, then, you know, we have to do so without our skipper. And, you know, she's just such a calming influence and just, you know, arrives at the moment to save the day on so many occasions for us. So that's going to present us with a challenge. But, you know, we're ready for that, and it's going to create some opportunity for... There's probably four or five who haven't played yet that have had great pre-seasons, are ready to go, and a number of those will get an opportunity this weekend, which is really exciting. But from our season, you know, there's just no opportunity to have a slip up. So we'll go in favourite. There's no doubt about that. But each team has the capacity to, you know, as we see in AFLW, that, you know, the scores are, you know, 7-8 goals is a big score. So. You don't have to be far off, and you can get yourself in strife. So we've got a big challenge ahead this weekend.
Two and Zip, Doc, a big game this coming weekend against West Coast Eagles. Go very well, and thank you for your company on Sports Day.
Good on you, Doc.
Thanks, boys. Have a great show. We'll talk later.
Matty Clark there, the coach of the Adelaide Crows and AFLW, premiership coach, of course, and they are going very, very nicely.
Benny, they are going to be very, very hard to beat. I know it's a long season, only two games in, but... Gee whiz, when you look at Marinoff, Hatchard, you look at Chelsea, Randall, and young Woodland up forward, I tell you what, I reckon they're in for a big year.
KG, I just reckon they are by far and away the fittest team in the competition. I just want to take you back to that last quarter, and I watched all of this game, but there were just a couple of moments in the last quarter that stood out. And Doc referred to it, and I just think it's worth reflecting on again. They got a terrible decision that cost them a goal, pushed the ball into attack, and then it got rebounded. And then there was a play that went, and I think I've got this right, it went from Sarah Allen to Nadj Allen, who kicked it to space, which went to Eloise Jones. She got it to Munyard. Munyard found Charlton. Charlton to Hatchard. She drew a play to Ponta. Ponta handballed to Woodland. Goal. I mean, that was electric football. It was elite and under real pressure. And what happened there? They got possession in defence, and then they kept getting ahead of the ball against the North Melbourne midfield. And this is late in the last quarter, and it just stood out to me. This is a team that when the game goes deep, they are fitter, harder, and just prepared to run that little bit harder than their opposition.
Well, there's no doubt that their intensity and pressure on the player and on the contest was enormous at the weekend. If they continue with that outlook, they're going to be very hard to beat.
Matthew Clark, our guest, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. We're off to break. On the other side, we're catching up with young Henry Thornton from the Adelaide Strikers. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new, redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
We're in the final term here at Sports Day with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. We're doing it thanks to Tyre Power. The big holiday sale is now on. Save on selected Kumho passenger and SUV tyres. Buy three, get one free at Tyre Power. Well, I tell you what, KG, I was at Adelaide Oval last night, and I am seeing a team that I did not recognise.
Well, it's an amazing story. This is like a Cinderella story. Like, here a while ago, the bottom of the ladder, they lost six in a row. People were saying, will they win another game? And lo and behold, after last night, they're into the finals.
They have won five of their last six. They've won their last four straight. A man who came into this side four games ago and has been pretty significant in all of those four wins. He joins us now. We're very pleased to have from the Adelaide Strikers, Henry Thornton, join us. Henry, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
What an amazing... Well, I know it's not the start to your career because you played for the Sydney Sixers around about four seasons ago. You probably thought this opportunity may never return. You have just taken this with both hands, young man. 8 wickets in the four games. I think you're averaging 13. And let me just list a couple of the people you've got out, if you don't mind. Dan Christian, Hilton Cartwright, Glenn Maxwell, Chris Lynn, and Ashton Turner, no less.
Bad luck.
You must be just, I don't know, pinching yourself at the moment, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks. I guess, I don't really know what to say. Like, I'm trying to find the words to really sum it up. It's been an amazing opportunity. I'm really grateful that Adelaide have given me a chance to just, you know, come out and show what I can do. And I guess, it's been a long time between drinks from my first BBL game to now. And, I'm just really loving
Henry, great. And, How did you get to Adelaide? How did you get to the Strikers? Who went and grabbed you?
It's a funny thing, actually. So I didn't have BBL on the radar at all. We finished up our club cricket just before Christmas.
Yep.
And then I pretty much had a normal Christmas with my family and my partner's family down in Victoria. And I got a phone call in the new year saying, hey, the Strikers are looking to bring you in as a replacement player, and got parachuted in. And, yeah, it's been fantastic. I've loved it.
Who made the phone call to you?
Cameron White rang me and said, mate, are you ready to rock and roll? And I said, yeah, of course I am. You're always ready to go. So, and yeah, I was really fortunate. Cameron has ties to my club coach at St Kilda. They're really close. And yeah, it just kind of unfolded and went from there. So yeah, really, really thankful that he picked up the phone. And yeah, it's been a blast.
Good on you.
Before we get into too much of the cricket, I need to have a quiet word, Henry, about your parents around the time you were born. And you're given names. Henry, Thomas, Raphael, James, York, Thornton. I suspect there are some grandfathers that needed to be recognised over the course of that given name, my man.
It's funny you say that. I've been asked a lot about this over the last couple of weeks. So the only one that I can give you, so York is my mother's maiden name,
right,
and the rest I have no idea where they came from. The best thing that I can say is probably give my dad and mum a call, and they can probably explain a little bit further than I can.
Now, Henry, did your teammates in the Strikers, do they give you hell about that? Do they razz you?
Not really. They will now. But other than the commentators, I think it's been pretty under wraps. The boys don't know, or probably haven't heard about it as much as they should, which has been nice. So it's just allowed me to just kind of sneak under the radar a little bit and just kind of focus on my bowling. So instead of having five middle names.
You did come from New South Wales. We said you played that one game for the Sydney Sixers, I think up at the Gabba against the Brisbane Heat.
Yep.
Very, very difficult to find opportunities, of course, in New South Wales cricket. Made your way down to St Kilda. Just tell us a little bit about when that happened. I think it was the start of last season. So, of course, COVID delays everything. I mean, you must have been tearing your hair out thinking you had no luck whatsoever. But just describe your cricketing journey over the past sort of 18 months.
Yeah, so, it's been a wild ride, I guess. And I think, you know, COVID's probably impacted that a lot. So I moved down. So I was on the Blues and Sixers list, and I got delisted and then just kind of needed a change of scenery, and thought there was a few more opportunities down at in Victoria, and made my way down just before the pandemic kicked off, hoping that it wouldn't affect anything, and, you know, that was a bit silly of me. So, and then played for St Kilda last year. We had a great year last year. Probably should have won the flag and unfortunately just missed out. But we're going really well this year. We're undefeated this year and, you know, we should be pushing for finals. Been in Victoria, did the whole pre-season with the Vics this year, which has been fantastic. And just been waiting for an opportunity with them. And I guess the Striker stuff has just been, I can't believe it, to be honest. I 2 weeks ago, I was watching the BBL on the couch or at the pub, and now I'm, you know, involved in it. So, yeah, it's been fantastic, and I'm just really grateful to get an opportunity because, I didn't think I'd get another one, and, here we are.
Here we go. Now, Henry, I've been on honest answer here. Chasing a total of 162 to win, what was the feeling like in the room before the boys went out to bat and make the chase?
We thought it was a pretty good wicket. Bowling on it first, we thought it was a pretty good wicket. I thought they were probably about 20 runs short, just the way that it was playing. And, the batters, they batted beautifully.
It
was great. It was just great to see them click. And they didn't try and overplay their hand, which was really nice to see. They just played really beautiful cricket shots. It was always great to come away with. I think we got the boost points. I was at 4 points. It was fantastic. And, you know, we just take momentum into the finals. I think everyone's playing a really great brand of cricket. It's really carefree. We're really enjoying what we're doing. And I think it's because everyone kind of wrote us off a few weeks ago. We're just kind of
embracing it. I was one of those people, I can tell you.
Henry, we're talking to Henry Thornton from the Adelaide Strikers. The young fast bowler has come in and had a huge influence in his first four games. Just tell us a little bit about away from cricket. I think you might be studying a journalism degree. Is that right?
Yes, I just finished my degree at the end of last year. So it's a communications degree. So I majored in public relations and journalism. I'm actually working as in executive search, so as a headhunter. And while doing that, while juggling my cricket commitment. So, I'm actually meant to go start a new job next week. So, it's going to be back to reality next week. So, but yeah, I'm just loving every moment at the moment. And, I kind of don't want to come down from cloud nine.
And this may open some opportunities for you, mate. I mean, it's a very high-profile competition. Who knows? Maybe there's a first-class team contract in the offing next year.
Yeah, I hope so. Oh, look, that would be the cherry on top. But for me, I'm just really happy that I'm playing any cricket that I can play, whether that's for St Kilda or the Strikers or whoever. I just love playing. So that would be a bonus. But I think the biggest thing for me at the moment, like, I know it's going to sound silly and cliche, but we are in a finals and anything can happen. I guess with T20 cricket, you know, whoever turns up on the day, usually, you know, it changes so fast. The landscape changes. So, you know, fingers crossed, we can have some success and, you know, take it as deep as we can.
Henry, what about the availability of Het and Carey? Will they come back into the side?
Yeah, I think they were named today. So I think Cricket Australia have released all the players from the test squad. The only things I've seen are the stuff on social. So I think Nathan Lyon's playing for the Sixers tonight against the Heat. I think they've got a fixture tonight. So, I think that some of the Aussie, I think the only people who aren't playing is if you don't have a BBL contract. So I think that's Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood. But I think for us, we get Carey and Heady back.
Oh,
and,
they've
been playing beautifully. Yeah, so that's a real bonus. Especially Heady. Heady's been smashing them at the minute. I think everyone can see that. And Cairns is a great player too, so he'll come back in and just provide that energy. And I think knowing both of them, they'll be really, really ready to go, I think. So it's exciting.
It's been a remarkable turnaround in form. The Adelaide Strikers are fourth. I know there's a couple of games to go, but there's every likelihood you'll play the Hobart Hurricanes in a knockout final on Friday. With your form, mate, I expect that you'll just waltz in, bowl to Ben McDermott, knock him over, just get the biggest gap in the team. That's what you do every game, mate.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I think it's more get him before he gets me. So, because he's absolutely smashing them at the moment. So, I'm hoping he misses out. So, he's had an amazing tournament. Like,
absolutely.
He's got 200s. And I think a 90 as well. So, he's been absolutely smashing it. But, you know, fingers crossed he misses a straight one. So, or hits one straight up in the air and we're away. So, it's going to be a great game. Whoever we play, either at the Stars or the Canes. And, we've got the momentum and we're feeling really good about it. So, it's going to be a great fixture.
Gee, I tell you what, Henry, Ian Cobain was so impressive last night. And the combination of him and Jono Wills. Jono Wills plays some beautiful, sweet cuts and drives. And Ian Cobain just come in beautiful and went bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, he smashed them, didn't he? But he played beautiful cricket shots. Like, he didn't try and manufacture anything.
No.
He just saw the ball and hit it and absolutely nailed it. So he's been awesome since he came in. And Wellsy, we all know what Wellsy does. He's an absolute jet. So it just gives us such great stability through that middle order. And, you add Travis Head in and Alex Carey.
We'll start favourite now.
Yeah, looking very, very nice. So, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
I tell you what, Henry, you've grown up in New South Wales. You're now down playing your cricket in Melbourne. But the minute you signed for the Adelaide Strikers, you became a dinky-dye South Australian, my man. So we will be claiming you as our own forevermore. Good luck on Friday night. Congratulations on what you've done so far. Thank you for joining us on Sports Day.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Henry
Friday.
Yes, absolutely. And we're looking forward to watching you. Henry Thornton there has come in for four games for the Adelaide Strikers as a fast bowler and has been absolutely elite. I tell you, you've got to give credit to him as well because he hasn't had a state contract. So to come in and perform at that level just goes to show what he has done with his preparation. He has looked after himself and
he
is finally getting some rewards.
He has, Ben, but I can't believe that we're talking about the Strikers now. A distinct chance to win the the BBL. I can't believe it.
Momentum's a funny thing, isn't it, KG?
Well, momentum is, but they were bottom and people were saying they won't win another game.
Mm.
And here we are, Head and Kerry back in. We'll almost start favourite.
Yeah, that's right. They'll finish fourth and you've got to win, I think, four games in a row from there, but you wouldn't put it past the Adelaide Strikers the way they're tracking
exactly
at the moment. So, yeah, we look forward to seeing how they perform in the knockout final on Friday night. What could you do with $5,000? Thanks to My Money House, you could win $5,000 cash. For details of your chance to win, visit iCanWin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms. KG, that's all we've got time for, my man.
Where are we going?
We're going to knock off.
Yeah, it
did go quick, cool, didn't it?
Cool. Here we go.
Enjoyed it, mate. Look forward to seeing you once again tomorrow night.
Good on your belly. See you then, pal.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
For Kia, the all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.